97.5, The Fanatic.
We do have some cuts to play you coming up in regards to Brett Brown and the third quarter. I guarantee you it won't put your mind at ease and probably won't make you feel better about the third quarter struggles. Didn't make my...
No, I was sitting here listening to it before the show. You and I were listening to it, and I'm like, again, the word that comes up is accountability. It's constantly the same word.
It's so frustrating. They just don't have it. They don't have accountability on this team.
I'm tired of...
Bad body language.
I'm tired of watching the team win a big game against the Celtics or the Bucks or whomever, and then come out flat the next night or two nights later against an inferior team.
That's my issue, is he will seemingly have a good win and, in my opinion, like save his job against the Celtics and then throw up three straight duds. It can't happen. You look at their roster after Christmas Day, or their roster, I'm sorry, their schedule, and you had that huge win against on Christmas Day, and I actually said on the air, would it shock anyone if they lost to Orlando? No, it's a letdown game. Fine, you let it go.
You and I were the first people on.
Yeah.
After that game. And you asked me, and I gave you a point-blank answer, the inconsistency does not lend me to believe that I think the win against Milwaukee was more important than the three losses.
And then they followed that up, by the way, with four straight losses to Orlando, who's a terrible team, Miami, that's a good team, a Victor Oladipo-less Indiana Pacers, and a Houston Rockets team. I mean,
losing to Indiana and losing to Houston, it happens because both of those are good teams on the road.
But the way that they lost,
they got beat bad.
Wasn't
by
even
Indiana.
Close, you know. And then you got a bunch of idiots who fly out to Indiana to praise T.J. McConnell of all people.
Well, and Sabonis, I mean, ran roughshod around them the entire game.
We're in the trust tree, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because no one's listening.
Yeah, I think so.
So it's just me and you.
Oh, Nat's listening. He's producing. Doing
I wasn't
a good job.
The biggest TJ McConnell fan when he was here. He just kind of annoyed me.
I liked McConnell for what he was.
Yeah, he just struck me as Gordy Gohard. And that's exactly what he
I think
was.
That's fair.
Man, watching him against this team in Indiana as the team's getting blown out and he's sitting there acting like it's game seven of the finals, I absolutely despised him. I went from, okay, I like him because he's on my team, and that's about it, to I've never disliked a player more than this guy. I can't stand him.
Well, there's a lot of players like that.
I'm glad to get that off my chest.
There are a lot of players like that, that when they're on your team, the team you root for, you love them.
Yeah.
Like, I've always asked, if Joel Embiid was a Celtic...
Oh, I'd hate him.
And maybe not even a Celtic, because that's the other extreme. But if Joel Embiid was a Bull or a Timberwolf... We wouldn't like him.
I don't know.
We don't like Karl Anthony Towns. They're the same player, except Embiid's better.
Because Karl Anthony Towns tries to be something he's not. He tries to be...
Do you think he's a fake tough guy?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely he's a fake tough guy. Yeah, that guy has never been in a fight, except the one he got bodied by Joel Embiid. He got choked out and tapped. That's why I don't like Karl Anthony Towns. I don't even though he's an Eagles fan.
Don't care.
Yeah, I feel the same way about. I hated Kobe, and even though he's an Eagles fan, I can't stand Kobe.
That's fair.
I respect Kobe. I respect everything he did for the game.
Yeah, I don't think you respect Karl Anthony Towns.
No, he hasn't done anything. Other than win Rookie of the Year. Although you could say the same thing about Ben Simmons. He hasn't done anything other than win Rookie of the Year and not progress. And that goes back to Brett Brown because of the fact that you look at the progression. Why hasn't really anybody progressed? Why hasn't really anybody gotten better? I mean, Joel Embiid is kind of the same guy we saw when he made his debut. 2 years after he was drafted.
Nah, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think Embiid's gotten better in a couple areas. I think Embiid's a better defensive player.
Okay.
I think Embiid is a better post-up guy.
All right, I can buy that.
But I think that he is the same shooter.
The shooter what I was going with, because you look
at
Ben
Simmons.
Yeah,
I think he's the same shooter.
Ben Simmons' issues, obviously, the shooting, and Ben Simmons is the exact same player, other than a little bit of a fadeaway hook shot, a fadeaway jumper that he has. He's basically the same player that we saw 3 years ago in the Rookie of the Year. And you wonder, someone has to get this out of him. It's in there. But when you're so comfortable at a job and you're so comfortable in a certain position that you just stop trying. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it. Doesn't matter what profession you're at.
It happens in every industry.
People know I'm safe. So why even try? I'm not going to go the extra effort. I'm not going to go the extra mile to try because my position in this company, on this team, wherever it is safe. So I'm not going to exert any extra effort that I don't need to. It's not that I don't think Ben Simmons is working during the offseason. I think he is. But when it comes to the little tiny things in-game, you're not seeing it. And I think what makes it more frustrating, at least for me, is during the offseason, we once again turn into Charlie Brown with the football because you see the workout videos. And then on top of it, you have Tobias Harris on. And he's saying, oh, no, Ben's hitting jump shots in my face. And you start convincing yourself you're going to see it in season, even though I didn't think it was a mandate, but you convince yourself, okay, we're going to see it. The Gangjuan Lions or whatever the hell they were, he's nailing threes in you know, Mo Spates' face, and you're like, okay, we're going to see it. You've seen it twice. And there's just no accountability. And when I hear the coach come out post-game and say, tell whoever, dude, you're the coach, you tell them. Because the issue, as soon as I heard that, I said, okay, either you're not telling him or you've told him. It hasn't gotten through. Now you're begging and pleading his handlers to tell him. And that's a big issue because you're the coach, you're the leader, and your message has failed. So there's issues all over the place with the Sixers team. Real quick, before I go to Joe in Harleysville, I do want to give an update on the Twitter poll. Because both teams, Eagles, Sixers, they have massive question marks, whether it be the front office, coach, roster, which team is currently as constructed do you have the most confidence in? On the phones, we've gotten nothing but the Sixers. Everyone said, as I rip the Sixers, I have to say I have the most confidence in the Sixers turning this around. Exact opposite on the poll. 67% say they have more confidence in the Eagles.
Have we gotten any tweets back as to why?
I'll check. I don't want to start reading off tweets I haven't read before because next thing you know,
you read a curse word or something like that.
But
here's the thing. You and I have sat here for 2 hours and 10 minutes and talked about what the Sixers' failures are, and yet I still pick the Sixers.
Yeah.
As the team that I'm more comfortable with.
Well, here's one. Keeping it real tweeted, an Eagles front office looked dysfunctional this week, but the Sixers just don't get it. There's one tweet. And then the other ones, I'm not going to read them. They're not very nice.
Fair enough.
Let's go to Joe in Harleysville. Joe, thanks for waiting, man. You're on the Fanatic.
Good evening, gentlemen. I couldn't agree with you guys anymore about the fact that Brett Brown is not getting the message through to Simmons. Simmons has been in the league now 3 years, and he refuses to shoot the ball from more than 3 feet away from the basket. And a player like that is just detrimental to the team. You know, how many times do I have to see him standing 5 feet from the basket and he passes the ball backwards? You know, I'm done with it, and he's got to go. And I think he's got to go, and Brett Brown has to go. Because as long as Simmons is on this team will not reach its potential, and they won't win a championship because he's just too much of a detriment to the team. It's like playing four against five, you know, they collapse down and he doesn't want contact. There's just too many issues with him. The worst thing that happened was he became Rookie of the Year and he got, he got on the All-Star team and his head exploded.
Joe, I won't go that far. I am as frustrated as you when he drives the lane and has a guy who's 7 inches shorter than him and he doesn't take him to the rim. Instead, he dishes out because you just see it so, so much and it's so frustrating. You just wish that this guy would tap into the talent that he has. I don't even think it's lack of confidence. I think it's he doesn't want to get embarrassed. And at this point, the jump shot talk has taken a life of its own where when he finally takes one, when he does take one, whether it be three-pointer or just a regular jump shot, that in itself is going to be the story, whether he makes it or not. And it's frustrating, Joe, because in my opinion, you look at Markelle Fultz's situation. Markelle Fultz, his jump shot was broken. Some would say it still is broken. And we were cheering for that guy just to take a jump shot. And I wish that Ben Simmons would take that to heart because it's not like we're going to care necessarily if he misses it at the beginning, all right? At the beginning, we're not going to care. We're just going to be happy he took it because it's going to add so much to his game. It's going to force the defender to come outside and guard that. Now, granted, down the line, I'm going to start to care if you make him or not. But he doesn't do that. Now, I'm not going to make him out to be like he is a cancer to the team and he's Alshon Jeffrey level because he's still 23 years old and this is still fixable. I want to see Ben Simmons with another coach, though, because this is the only coach he knows. This is the only message that's gotten across. And you haven't seen a progression in his game that you thought you were going to. And Joe, thanks for the phone call, man. I don't know about you, Tyler. I'm sick of arguing with friends and family about Ben Simmons every single year and about how this will be the year and it's never the year. You get the same Ben Simmons.
Yeah, the issue is going to become the stagnation. And listen, if you're going to get Ben Simmons at what he is right now, that's a good player. It's a really good player, in fact. In fact, it might be an all-star some years. Not every year, but some years. The issue is there's no progression. There's got to be progression at some point.
Ben Simmons is an exceptional talent and has all the talent in the world and all the ability to world. And you can see it at times and flashes. I feel like if I had a dollar every time I said the best Ben Simmons is aggressive Ben Simmons, I probably wouldn't be on the show right now because I'd be on an island somewhere. The problem is you see aggressive Ben Simmons once a month. And that's the problem.
That's the big concern. When he dribble drives, penetrates the lane, dribble drives, and then jumps, midair turns his back to the basket.
Oh, my God.
But the problem is,
so frustrating.
Oftentimes it looks like, I'm not sure if he knows what's going on behind him when he jump dribble drives and turns his back to the basket. So when you do that, you're taking away the best asset you have. Because no one's going to stop you when you drive the lane at all. I don't even know if centers are going to stop you because you're as big as them. So you need to, if you're going to be aggressive, make the aggressive decision and go right to the basket.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, everybody knows what he's doing. Everybody knows. He's going to drive the lane and kick it out, just like you said. I can picture in my head of him driving, jumping, turning, frantically looking for an open guy. Okay, I found one, delivering the pass outside. And this isn't a three-point shooting team. Even though they think they are after Christmas Day and they're just chalking up threes, they're not.
You know,
they're not a good three-point shooting team.
One thing I found interesting was prior to the game against the Celtics, when Brad Stevens had open media, I thought Tom McGinnis asked him a great question. He asked him, you guys have had a lot of success against Ben. You seem to wall him off, you know, well at the point of attack. Basically, just walk us through what your success is. And Brad Stevens praised Ben Simmons for 30 seconds or 45 seconds. I was curious to know what Brad Stevens, like, off the record thinks.
Yeah.
You know, because it was a great question by Tom, and I don't think Brad answered it.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, before we get to Mike and Cherry Hill, I think that the Celtics were the team that was calling one of their rookies Ben Simmons because he wouldn't shoot jumpers in practice.
There you go.
And that in itself of itself is an issue when you become the butt of your own joke. Markelle Fultz had it happen during the Dallas Cowboys game, if you remember a couple years ago, when I think it wasn't Dez, it might have been Amari Cooper scored a touchdown and he started joking around about that stupid wobble that Markelle Fultz would take. He became the butt of a joke. Ben Simmons is becoming the butt of around the NBA of a joke. And the problem with Ben Simmons is he does everything else well. Defensively, size, he's healthy, he's always consistent, he's there, right? He drives the lane well. He's versatile in a way, even though they don't use him that way. He's so versatile, yet he looks lost when he goes to the four, but I do think under a different coach, he could bring back that versatility. But the only thing he doesn't do well is shoot the basketball. That's kind of an important aspect of basketball. You need that.
Well,
his court vision.
Yes,
undeniable.
To an extent. The only thing is, everybody wants to talk about how he's, you know, big Rondo. If he wants to be Rondo, that's fine. Be Rondo. Because Rondo was a darn good point guard.
It was.
I mean, guy that was consistently picking up 12, 15, 20 assists a game.
Yeah, the problem is you were promised baby Magic.
Right.
And not baby Rondo.
There you go.
610-632-0975. Let's go to Mike in Cherry Hill. Mike, thanks for waiting, man. You're on the Fanatic.
Oh, my point is about, obviously, Ben Simmons.
Sure.
I think Markel is a good point to make. You know, he just couldn't. You know, some guys is not built for the city, man. This is a big market, and you know, with the media and the sports talk, I mean, we want instant gratification. But sometimes guys' games don't evolve like that. That man is like 23 years old, man.
Yeah, and people forget that, Mike. People really forget that.
Right, and so we want him to be great right away just because he was rookie of the year. Well, rookie of the year means that you was the best out of some of the first-year players. That doesn't mean you're going to be a good player. I mean, look at some of the rookie of the years over the course of the NBA. Some of them guys never panned out. So
Michael Carter Williams is an example of one.
Yeah, Michael Carter Williams is a really good one. Yeah.
Markel is thriving in a small market, and that's what he might just be a small market guy, you know? And so the worst thing that we could do is fire the coach as if a disciplinarian. You guys got to remember, man, it's a player's league. You're not going to yell at nobody to make anybody a better player. That's never going to happen. You're gonna push him further away. And so, God, this is a player's league.
Well, let me ask you right now.
It's a player's league. No, the disciplinarian coach is out of here. There's no disciplinary coaches in the league.
I've heard this before, but there is. I mean, Greg Popovich, who is one of the greatest of all time, he's a disciplinarian coach.
Right.
But I think, Mike, there's a way to do
it. He's on his way out. I mean, how many more years does he have to coach, man? This guy's grayed up. He's about to be out of the league.
You're right in that aspect. You're right. I think there's a way to do it, though. I'm not saying that you come out and just be, you know, Larry Boa. I mean, that's the best example I can give because he was just such a hard-ass coach.
I was coaching in the 80s.
Yeah, who's sitting there screaming and,
this is 2020.
And spitting and getting in these guys, and he's never happy. You don't need Bill Belichick. But there is a way to do it where, you know, and I look at Alain Vigneault on the Flyers, who is a player's coach, but isn't scared to go after his leaders. And because of that aspect, because he's well-respected, because they like him, when he chews them out, the message gets sent even louder because of the fact that he's not one of these loud guys. He's not one of these hard-ass coaches. So I think there's a fine line to do it, and they need to find a guy who can do it. And that's tougher. That's easier said than done, obviously. And that's why Elton Brand gets paid the big bucks. But at this point, Brett Brown to me strikes me as a guy who is going to get you to the guy. He's not going to be the guy. He is Doug Collins a la Phil Jackson. He's Mark Jackson a la Steve Kerr. He's the gatekeeper. But he's not going to be a guy that wins you an NBA championship. And that's the whole goal of this thing.
Well, I also think that guys have the options to leave franchise. That's why you can't use the way that you're talking about. That's an old school way of thinking because this is a player's league. Players can leave. Do you really think a guy wants to play with a guy like that? The reason why they like Brett Brown is because he's their friend. He's not the disciplinarian. He's more positive. You're going to need a coach that can look at, to me, as I've been listening to the sports talk throughout the day, you're going to need a guy that is going to be able to pull more skill sets out of Ben Simmons as opposed to just a jumper. If he can't shoot the jumper, which is clear, he's going to have to drive and score the ball and do more. You know what I'm saying? Focus on his positives and not on his negatives. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And, Mike, I think we both agree on it. The real person to blame here is Joe Torty.
Exactly. And I always blame Joe for everything because Joe is the reason. I said that to D earlier today. I said, you guys are putting too much pressure on this guy. And guys, like the last caller, they say you want to ship him out of town. I know when you saw Markel score 25 the other day, you had to cringe. Then you're like, oh, no.
I was done.
Yeah,
Mike, thanks for the phone. I was happy for him because I'm happy for the redemption story. I love Mike and Jerry.
For anybody that doesn't know, Mike is a frequent caller of our evening program with Joe Torty, and no matter what happens, it's Torty's fault.
If it's a nice day out, I blame you, Torty. It's great. I love how you didn't miss a beat. Absolutely, we blame Joe Torty. I was happy for Markel. I think Markel needed a change of scenery. I don't necessarily know if he couldn't hack it in this market. I just think it's an unfortunate situation of his jump shot was so broken by an AAU coach. And when he gets shipped out of town to Orlando, it is a less stressful market. It is a market where he can rehab and he's not going to have a ton of eyes on him and he can struggle and flourish and do what he needs to do to get back that athleticism that made him the number one overall pick, that skill set.
Here's all I'm going to say about Markel Fultz.
I think his jump shot still broke.
At this point, oh, it sure is. At this point, him in Orlando, us sitting here in Bala Cynwyd, I don't care about Markel Fultz anymore. I don't at all.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's an afterthought.
If he succeeds, good for him. If he doesn't,
I don't care. I'm with you. I don't cheer against Markel. If he's playing against somebody, you know, good for him. Because I don't want to see the kid.
I don't want to root against somebody because they had, you know,
it's an unfortunate situation.
Out of here.
It's an unfortunate situation what happened to him. And there, you watch highlights of that kid, and you can tell why. Now, granted, I could make a highlight about me, and you'd think I was an NHL player, but there's a reason he was taken number one. This wasn't Anthony Bennett who was, seriously? They took that kid? Yeah, there was a reason he was taken number one. He was the consensus number one overall pick. Now, hindsight being what it is 3 years later, you can throw every name at the book that's worked out, but I did a lot of shows during that time. There wasn't a lot of people calling up talking about Jason Tatum. They were talking about Markel Fultz.
Right.
And the excitement level, and we finally got the final piece. And you know, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's a lot like Andy Reid, honestly.
No, I think it's a little bit different. I don't cheer for him.
Okay, not a lot like Andy Reid. There's similarities in Andy Reid and Markel Fultz.
Andy Reid, I want to succeed. There is a total uncare about Markel Fultz.
Okay.
It's like, if you took my pulse on Markel Fultz, it would be flatline.
Yeah, I spoke too soon. There's similarities with the two, but you're right. I definitely want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. Markel Fultz, if he does well, I give him a golf clap. If he struggles, I'm not going to hear about it, because I'm not searching out box scores to find out what Markel Fultz did. It's an unfortunate situation that happened to them, because they traded up and didn't work out, but what are you going to do? You move on. And you move on to your 23-year-old point guard who hasn't really progressed under this coach. And it leads me to wondering, when the hell are they going to make a move? 610-632-0975. Coming up next, we do want to play that Brett Brown third quarter audio, just so I can raise my blood pressure even more and hear the excuses that have gone on. I'm wondering when we're going to move the goalpost back. What's going to be the new excuse moving forward with this team? Is it going to be, well, Joel's out? Well, they still have to gel, because it's always something where we're defending this guy instead of just saying, hey, maybe we need to make a change. Maybe he's not the guy. 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan. It is Joe Torti. Kristen Penn talking to you. Be up next.
I'm not Joe Torti.
You're not Joe Torti, because we blame him. You are. I blame Joe Torti for you being here.
That's fair. That I can get behind.
You're Tyler Zulli. I'm Pat Egan. I don't know who I am. On 97.5
Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli, talking Eagles and Sixers and their issues. We mixed in a little bit of the Andy Reid talk, because he is going to the AFC Championship game, and I was curious out there of how the fan base, the Eagles fan base, felt about Andy Reid. Me and you were on the same page. I want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. You want Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl. I think he's way too good of a coach to not have that happen. I feel the same way a lot of times with greats in sports. Like, I was happy Ovechkin won the cup, even though I'm not a huge fan of him, because he's just so damn good. But I just think it's a travesty when the greats miss out.
Well,
on
and watching Ovechkin, go on his 17-day bender.
Oh my god, it was
fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. So you always kind of want to hear, like, another, I keep bringing up hockey. Like, Ray Bourque was another guy who, I don't really care about Ray Bourque, but to see him win a cup was special. And you always want to see the greats win the championship. And I think there's a lot of bitter Eagles fans because he didn't win in this city. And they would be annoyed that typical. Another guy who doesn't win here and goes off and wins in another city. Thanks for taking my call. Like, why?
You're killing me with this.
Why? What is the difference between Andy Reid and every single coach in the history of the franchise prior to him? Because
nothing.
We immortalized Buddy Ryan. How many playoff games did Buddy Ryan win?
Don't you talk bad about Buddy.
I'm kidding.
We're here for this. I'm kidding because I'm with you on Buddy Ryan. The Buddy Ryan love because it was, oh, it's the Kelly Green and the vet and Randall.
Hard-nosed defense.
You know why they love Buddy? Because Buddy hated the Cowboys as much as they did.
That's great.
And that's why.
Congratulations.
But you're right. He never won a playoff game and he's revered in this town. But he was fired for a reason. And then they get Coach Light and he was fired because he sucked. You look at it, like, we could be the New York Jets. Think about just being a Jets fan for a second. On the surface, you go, oh, God, that sucks. I'm a Jets fan. There's, like, barely any weapons to use. Not only that, Adam Gase is a terrible coach. I had to suffer through Chad Pennington. I had to suffer through Mark Sanchez. Yeah, there was a couple good years mixed in there, but it was bad. Geno Smith. Christian Hackenberg.
I don't even know if their quarterback now is any good.
Exactly. But then, to add the cherry on top, they hired Bill Belichick, and before they were able to announce him as head coach, he left for the Patriots.
He's like, nah, I don't want this.
Yeah, I'm out.
I don't like this.
I'm out. I'm going to New England. I'm good. Bye.
More along the lines of this.
Yeah, I don't think we're going
to
do that.
Yeah, I don't think we're off to New England. I don't have time.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time to talk about that. We're on in New England.
That must be awful. So you could be that. Instead, while it is doom and gloom because the Eagles are out of it, the 3 years removed from a Super Bowl, and we're able to sit back and not be angry about the fact that Andy Reid. This poll, which I'll update you in a second, I honestly believe would be a lot closer if the Eagles never won a Super Bowl.
Oh, I think it would be flipped. I think, honestly, it would be 65-70% no.
Yeah, with a bitter X.
I'm curious. I wonder your opinion on this because you bring up the Jets. The Jets won the Super Bowl in what, 69, I think it was?
I'd have to look it up. That's
Super Bowl
right.
Three.
Super Bowl III, yeah.
And haven't won since. I don't even know if they've been back since. But regardless, would you rather be in a situation where your team's never won one and you're hunting for one, or you haven't won since 1969?
Exactly. Yeah, I consider myself hashtag blessed to have seen a World Series and a Super Bowl at this point, because there are fan bases out there that haven't. Now, NBA championship and Stanley Cup, whatever, they'll come. But you just think about the cities that haven't won one. It's a situation of when you break up with somebody, you want to be the first one to get married because you don't want to see them have success before you. That's what happened with this situation. We won the Super Bowl in this city, so we're able to go, oh, good for you, Andy. But I think you're right. If Andy's sitting at the altar, And you're sitting back single at the wedding, just waiting to get tuned up, hitting on some bridesmaids, you're probably sitting there bitter as hell. So I put a Twitter poll out. You can find it at @Pat_Egan. Are you cheering for Andy to win a Super Bowl? Yes, go Big Red. No, hope he loses. 87% say yes. I'm proud of Twitter. I'm proud of them.
They've got this one right.
They did.
I'm happy.
Yeah. I'm
Bernie's happy. I'm happy.
I love Bernie. Also, the other Twitter poll that we'll give up to until we get to Christian Pence talking. Also, both teams, meaning the Sixers and Eagles, have massive question marks, whether it be front office, coach, roster. Which team, as currently constructed, do you have the most confidence in, the Sixers or Eagles? On the phones, we've gotten the Sixers. Undoubtedly, it's been unanimous. Sixers, Sixers, Sixers. Me and you are in agreement. It's the Sixers. Twitter says different. 67% say the Eagles, whereas 33% say the Sixers. So both polls are at @Pat_Egan. In the meantime, you can chime in at 610-632-0975. Let's go to Chris from Pensauken. What's going on, Chris?
What's happening, Pat?
How are you?
Oh, good. Well, not good.
It'd be better if the Eagles were playing, but...
Yeah, I let me tell you something, man. Andy Reid, I got to give a shout out to him. And I wasn't a hater when he was here. You know, he did some bum on stuff. Yeah, and Peterson does it too. I guess they all do it when you actually watch TV, unless there's like three or four head coaches in the whole NFL, but the rest of them make their mistakes. But one thing you got to give that guy, whether he's at Green Bay, whether he's at the Eagles, Kansas City, I've never seen a guy, Pat, second round, first round, seventh round, take a quarterback and make him either very good or great. And then he flips him. He picks him up, he drafts him, and then he flips him for a second-round draft pick. I'm like, I don't understand why that guy don't get credit. I hope he wins the Super Bowl. I lost my son too, a cancer. So, and you know, I call you often. I'm 52. You know me as the grumpy old bear, and that it's a hard day every day of my life. So yeah. For him to lose a kid and never take that dude didn't even take a day off of work.
Yeah, I
took 2 years when my son passed away. Just so you know, because I feel like I know you because I called you up for years. I took a year and a half off of work. I lived off credit cards, man.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody blames anybody in that situation because I pray to God I'm never in that situation. That's horrible. And I think when we step back, a lot of the city, whether you liked Andy or not, you really felt for him in that moment because it's horrible for a parent to lose a child, especially the way that he lost his child. You never want to see them go down that path, obviously. And I remember, Chris, listening to sports radio when that went down, and people thought that he was going to step away. And everybody understood it because of the fact he lost a child, that you understood, okay, hey, if he wants to take a reprieve from coaching football, this is bigger than football. This is your life. This is your family. I understand it. And he didn't.
After he buried his son, he showed up 2 days later to work.
It's crazy.
That's crazy.
And you know, some people will just bury themselves in the job, and other people, you know, go another route, and however you cope, I'm all for it. That's your decision. But you're right. It's amazing that he was so dedicated to not just this city and this organization, but the players as well, when he was going through such a serious moment that I don't understand how you can't cheer for this guy, especially when he gave you so many good years. You always knew, even though he didn't win it in retrospect, you always knew you had a chance with Andy Reid. You always knew you were
right. Exactly. You had the shot. Remember, you're a lot younger. Remember when you and your producer were going to school and they came up and they said, yo, Pat, he's going to fight you after seventh. And you're like, well, I don't know if I can beat that dude, but at least I got a shot.
Chris, you got to try.
Chris, listen, I never had a shot.
Hold on, real quick. I got to tell you, because Chris is I believe you're a judge guy just like myself, Chris, right?
Yeah, 1985.
There you go. So you know roaming those halls. You know where you were going. You had to try.
Oh, put it this way. You go down to the right at the light, run right underneath the
bridge. Right under the bridge.
I take my suit coat off, and I take my jacket off, and they're like, you're a little guy. I'm like, I'm going to put my teeth in your forehead. That's my first shot, and we're going to throw down, and then we're going to get on the Lincoln and fight those dudes, too. You're a judge, boy? I like that.
Yeah, make it quick on your Sixers point, though.
Sixers point. Brett Brown's your uncle. They let you sip beers at 15 and said, don't tell your dad. He ain't the guy, man. I like the guy. He's a very good coach. He's not the guy that's going to put it in the burger with the bum, man. You guys have a great night. God bless. Go Judge.
Yeah, thanks.
All day long.
Thanks, Chris. No, Judge is terrible. Go Doherty. They don't even have a school. They're not even open. I'm so bitter about that. Oh God, I don't curse the Catholic League for that at all. 610-632-0975 should be open. It's not. It's Pat Egan, who doesn't have a high school because they closed it, and Tyler Zuli, who does, on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The
Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Unfortunately, final segment. I feel like the show flew by.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun today.
This was, for one of us, it was fun. That would be you.
Yeah, because I got the pleasure of working with you.
That a guy. Real quick, before we get to the Brett Brown audio, which we've been teasing for the last 15 hours, let's get to Rob in Northeast Philly. Rob, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Good. How are you, Rob?
So when are you a judge graduate, though?
That's Tyler.
That's actually me.
Yeah, that's Tyler. I went to Doherty. I was 07.
Oh, 07, okay.
Yeah, but Tyler,
I'm judge of 2012.
When?
2012.
Oh, man. You guys are young kids.
Yeah, sorry, man. I couldn't control when I was born. It just kind of happened.
That's all right. FKD 97. So anyway, what do you guys think? It's Ben Simmons' turn to take over the Sixers, right?
What are you saying? He's trying to take over the Sixers?
Yes. Like, Embiid's going to be out for, what, 6 to 8 weeks?
No, I think it was three.
Well, they're
right?
going to reevaluate in two, but he's got surgery, and then he's going to have to it's going to be probably close to that, I would bet.
Really?
I think so.
I thought it was three, but you're right. The timetable I saw was right. It was reevaluation. So, yeah, I guess you're right, Rod. He does. He's the next guy in line. He's got to take over games, and we got to see that.
He needs to prove that he's valuable to the Sixers. Like, he needs to prove that he can be a franchise player.
Yeah, like, I think at this point, you know, and what annoys me about these losses when they lose to the Mavericks by 18 is the Mavericks are beating you by 18 points without one of their best players in Kristaps. Your roster, while the bench is terrible, your starting five is built to last the absence of a Joel Embiid or a Ben Simmons or an Al Horford. That's the luxury you had when you maxed out all these guys and you gave out big contracts, is your roster should be good enough to win, because you have guys like Ben Simmons. So you're right, he needs to take over, and he needs to prove all the haters wrong and fill in the absence of a Joel Embiid and carry this team, because the reality is you're not expecting, even though he's the highest paid player, you're not expecting Tobias Harris to do it. You're not expecting Al Horford to do it. You're expecting Ben Simmons to carry this team, and he's falling flat right now.
Correct. So this is a crazy thought, but like I feel that either after this season or during or even before the trade deadline, you need to figure out your team. You need to figure out which player, Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid, you want to have. So you need to look to build your team around either one of those players, and you need to focus on that 100%. So if you're going to say that your best player is Ben Simmons, like, his time right now is to do that. And if Ben Simmons can prove that he can lead a team, that makes Joel Embiid expendable.
Yeah, Rob, I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to break up these two.
Nope.
I'm not even close to it. I just can't. I can't break up these two yet.
I don't think any...
Until I see them not succeed with another coach, I'm not ready to break these two up.
Right, and that's the thing. Nobody's expendable until you get your final product.
I do agree with them. They need to figure out what their team is.
Correct.
And I think that you've seen a GM in Elton Brand who's willing to make moves to improve.
Yeah, he's going
to
make changes, for sure.
He's not Sam Hinkie who goes, oh, I can't trade a second-round pick. It's an asset. Second-round pick. If he sees an ability to improve his team, he's going to do that. And
remember, he said it'll all make sense soon.
I'm still waiting for that, by the way.
If this is the sense, we need to see something else.
When is soon? Like, are we talking in the grand scheme of things about life?
Because soon in life is 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I think what he meant was the Al Horford deal, and I cannot imagine he is happy.
No, I can't. There's no way.
There's no way he is comfortable with what happens, and he's sitting there. He doesn't strike me as the dog in the burning building who's saying, this is fine, as it burns the ground. He doesn't strike me as that guy. He's got to be annoyed, but I think it's a situation of, does he want to fire this guy in Brett Brown, probably elevate one of the assistants to an interim head coaching position, and then go on the lookout for hiring his guy? Because
I would imagine, and this is all hypothetical, if that were the case, it would probably be Ime Udoka.
I would agree with that.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, I would agree. But that's another guy that came from the Popovich trade.
Right.
Where Brett Brown came from, obviously that hasn't worked out. At this point, though, I don't really care who it is. I just need to see these guys under a different voice.
Speaking of that different voice, you want to get mad real quick before
we
leave?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Here's so the Sixers have their well-storied history in the third quarter this season. I mean, if you've watched any game with the Sixers, the chances are they have struggled mightily in the third quarter. It's been an issue all season long. They come out flat as hell from the locker room. I don't know what's being said, or as you said, what's not being said, Tyler. But for whatever reason, as I said, if you want to make money, just bet against the Sixers third quarter, you're going to make money. And last night, they once again just totally fell apart in the third quarter, looked disinterested. The game got out of hand quickly, and they ended up losing by 18. Brett Brown, after the game, was asked about the third quarter woes, and hear what he had to say.
I thought that that we weren't as aggressive as we needed to be on the boards, especially. You know, I wished we could have, you know, kept Ben on Luke a little bit longer than we could have. The foul trouble bothered us. But I give Dalek credit with their second half, that third quarter energy, especially.
So you're giving Dallas credit for their third quarter energy?
Which means you came out flat.
Which happens too much.
You and I were here last night producing this game. And what I didn't get a chance to say to you at halftime was, to me, one of two things were going to happen in this game. Because they were 10 of 31 in the first quarter. They led by two. They were not much better in the second. They led by 10. One of two things was going to happen. That was either going to catch up to them and the Mavericks were going to win the game, or they were going to put their foot on the pedal and steamroll Dallas to a 25-point win.
And that goes back to the previous caller saying Ben Simmons needs to take over, which he does. And too many times they roll over. They roll over and fall flat, and they don't end up making that run. They made that run during the process years, if you remember. They'd be down by like 25 and they'd make a run. But that's because they had a bunch of players who were just fighting for NBA jobs.
Right.
They weren't very talented, but they were fighting for NBA jobs. This current team has a bunch of guys who are comfortable. They're comfortable in their role. They don't have to worry about getting sat. I said it earlier, but Ben Simmons looks at Brett Brown and goes, oh, okay. You want me to shoot? Fine. Howell Neto's fresh. Bench me for him. Go ahead.
And real quick before we get out of here, third quarter from the 12-minute mark, the beginning of the third quarter, to the 7:13 mark when the Sixers called their second time out of the quarter, they scored 5 points. The Mavericks in that span scored 16.
What?
And once again, this is a Mavericks team. I'll reiterate for the people in the back that did not have Kristaps Porzingis. Sure, you had Luka Doncic, and there's no doubt how good he is. But this is a Mavericks team that came out with some guy named Kleber.
Who?
Some guy named Finney Smith. Finney Smith.
Two last names.
And some guy named Daryl Powell. He went from playing for the Flyers a couple years ago. Now he's transitioned to basketball beautifully, showing his athleticism. This is a joke. You got beat by a team of a bunch of guys that no one's ever heard of.
Most displeased.
And then Bobomb goes off for 12. It got to the point where the game was so out of hand, he started chucking up threes. Just because why not? We got this game under control. Kobe. Oh, it's so frustrating.
Need a win tomorrow.
Yeah, you really do. What hasn't been frustrating is working with you, Tyler. This was fun. Hopefully we'll do it again soon. Thanks to our producer, Nat Marlowe. I will be on next week at some point. I don't know. Just look at the schedule.
I think you're with Andrew at some point.
At some point. Who knows? It's all fluid. You know, just like Brett Brown, I could be gone any day. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy my key card works. But thanks, everyone, for tuning in, tweeting in, calling in, all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you when we talk to you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.